I'm starting a new series on Sunday nights, How To. You ever watch those things on TV, how to repair a car, how to remodel your house, how to do this, how to do that? So I'm going to do one. I'm going to preach on how to endure hardship, how to see miracles, how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, how to get all desires of your heart, how to understand the Bible, how to. Those will be on Sunday nights. And then on Wednesday nights, I'm going to start, not tonight, but next Wednesday night, I'm going to start on the ABCs of the Christian life. And that would be like A would be assurance. See what I'm saying? B would be like baptism of the Holy Ghost, since you watch Jimmy Swaggart so much. It's like straighten that rascal out. C would be like communion with God. And I'll just do ABCs of the Christian life, and hopefully that'll help some folks. But tonight, since it's the first of the year, if we're going to have a successful life and a successful year and a successful home and our career or church or business or anything, you know, there are some things we can learn from the Bible. And specifically, Nehemiah, in this case, about building something for God. Now, as Christians, when we were saved, we were supposed to start building our house for God and our lives and everything else. So tonight, I just got a couple points on that. If you'll look at it with me, let's just read the whole chapter, Nehemiah chapter 4, if you will, and so you can get the whole gist of the matter. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and he took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." Wouldn't that be something to pray for somebody?
Amen.
Danny used to pray that. Hey, sometimes you need to. Sometimes you need to. But look at verse 6. "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches, or the breaks, began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore, set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows." Now, and what he's saying is they've been warned. These people's coming. They're going to get in amongst them. They're going to stop the work. They're going to destroy what they've done. Verse 14, "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laded, every one with his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. We're separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. Now there it is. The walls of Jerusalem had been torn down. God had laid it on Nehemiah's heart to go to the king and ask could they rebuild Jerusalem. They got permission. They even got such permission that God laid it on people's hearts to give them the things that they needed to do the work. They didn't have to pay for it. And then when they got there, of course, as soon as they got there, things begin to happen. And so I got looking at this. And they were building, but they were battling. They were building, but they were fighting. They were building, but they had a lot of resistance they had to stand against. But the good things about it is, I'm going to show you real quick, our lives are like that. Our homes are like, you can't have a home not fight for it. You can't have family not fight for it. You can't have a job or nothing without fighting for it. You got to have it by fighting. You got to be willing to stand up for something or you'll fall for anything. And so these people with God, they had a mind to work. Look at verse 8. In verse 8 it says, and conspired all of them together to come in the fight against Jerusalem to hinder it. They were going to attack Jerusalem. They were going to knock it down as they worked. But as Satan tried to hinder, they began to work. Now it's the same thing, mind your house. It's the same thing at church. We have to have a mind to work. It's work to build anything. Yeah. You can't build a family without working at it. You can't build a career without working at it. You can't build a good life without working at it. You can't build a church. I'm not just talking about physical church. I'm talking about the spiritual church. We've built a great work here. There's been a great work done here. But don't think, you ever thought about this? People come in on Sunday and they sit down. They never thought about who cleaned the church. They never thought about who decorated. They never thought about who planned that music that they enjoyed so much. They never thought about they had to practice the music. They never thought about that Sunday school lesson. Somebody studied to teach that Sunday school lesson. They never thought somebody had to study to preach that sermon that inspired them or converted them or comforted them. People don't think about things like that. But if you're going to do anything, it's going to take a mind to work. You've got to make up your mind. This is what I want. And I want it so bad, I'll work at it. Amen. I'm afraid we live in a generation of people that don't know what the word means anymore. W-O-R-K is a four-letter word in this generation. But you got to have a... Now, so if you're going to build anything, guess what's going to happen? The devil and his crowd is going to come against you. The devil and his crowd. Now, they don't always look like the devil's crowd. Sometimes they look like friends. Sometimes they look like family. Sometimes they look like co-workers. Sometimes they look like fellow church members. So, but they're going to attack... Once they see you building something or rebuilding something, The old devil's going to inspire somebody to go against what you're doing for his glory. Whether it's build a family or marriage or anything, or children or grandchildren, the old devil and their crowd's going to come against you. So here's, look at verse 9, if you will. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. We made our prayer unto God. Now, when Satan hinders, what we have to do is we got to pray. We got to pray for strength. We got to pray for wisdom. We got to pray for protection, because the devil and his crowd, they've already got everything they need. And so what we've got to do is, just like they said, when we heard they were coming and they were going to go against the work, he said the first thing we did was we made our prayer unto God and we ignored it. You know how I know they ignored it? They said, nevertheless. No matter what they're going to do, they got these plans, they're going to attack, they're going to do this. Nevertheless, forget it. And pray unto God. Amen. And give it to him. And then it says, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Now, what we got to do, we got to watch and pray. And we got to be alert, because the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We can't sleep through this thing. Can't sleep through our life. Can't sleep through anything that we're trying to do for God, because somebody's got to watch. And pray, if you don't watch, he'll sneak up on you. His crowd is, I've had him sneak up on me. And I was praying down here today. I said, God, you've done a lot of good things in this church since we started. There's been people come through here who we thought was everything in a bag of chips. And boy, they were just so good. They were going to do this. They were going to do that. And it turned out some of them turned against the church, the people in the church. There's one that turned against Rudy. Just attacked Rudy over and over and over. Started sending him anonymous letters and letters like you'd see on those detective shows, you know, and things like that. And we couldn't figure out who it was. I thought it was one person. He said no, and he named that other person. I said, I just can't see that. Turned out it was exactly the person that he named, and it was all about jealousy and envy, and it just went on and on. One that I helped get in the ministry turned against, and you know what it's all about. The old devil tells them one thing, inspires them, and so we've got to pray and we got to watch. Now, I'm not too bad at praying, but I don't watch real good. I don't watch like I ought to. I ought to watch more often. I've had people do things to me and through me and about me and the church and things like that I should have seen that coming. I should have seen. But you see, these enemies were well recognized. They knew who they were. We don't always know who the enemy is. Right, so. Right. And so we're going to, same with your home. Same with your family. Mm-hmm. Same with your wife, your husband, your children. We have to watch. Amen. We got to watch. And so Nehemiah, they began to watch. But guess what? There was some weakness there too. There were some problems. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one to his work. Now, they returned to work because they had to clean out the rubbish in the previous part of that. They had to clean out the rubbish. There was so much trash in the place of them building that they couldn't get through the trash and they couldn't do their job. So they had to clean out the rubbish. And did you know, if we're going to do something for God, if we're going to do something at the church, if we're going to do something in our home or with our children, we got to get the rubbish out. It gets in the way, the trash, the junk, get it out of the way. And I'm afraid our houses, our homes, our churches are full of rubbish. And weakness is just, man, it's terrible how things get in the way from us doing things that God wants us to do because of the things that get all built up, the trash and the junk in our way. Unbelief is rubbish. You ever thought about that? Weaknesses are rubbish. Weaknesses bring in rubbish. If we're weak in an area, the old devil has slipped trash in that area. I read this thing today by this psychologist, and it said, did you know that a kid now the average kid in fifth grade has a cell phone? Oh, yeah. And that's a computer. Yeah. and said, did you know that the average kid in fifth, sixth grade has been exposed to pornography because nobody's watching what they're watching?
Right.
It's rubbish. It's trash. Why does a kid in fifth grade need a cell phone? I think my grandson asked me one day, would I get him a phone? I said, where you work? He said, I don't work. I said, then you don't need a phone. Well, when can I get a phone? I said, when you get old enough to work and pay for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. By then you ought to be wise enough to keep the rubbish out. Amen. But look, church gets rubbish. And I'm not talking about trash in the floor and stuff like that. Junk. If you don't watch out, the junk will slip into your church, the trash.
Yes.
And I showed one to my wife tonight, and they was getting ready. They was practicing their show. You know, every church is not a worship service anymore. It's a show now.
Amen.
And nobody was there but the ones practicing. Yet they had all those blue lights and everything shining. Everybody looked like Smurfs. Blue light. And the smoke was already in there. The whole room was full of smoke. And I thought to myself, well, that looks like the nightclubs and the bars people used to go to. It was lost. That's rubbish. That's trash. You need to get that out of there. Amen?
Amen.
But in order to appease people, and they say, well, we're building a great work. Well, you're not building it real good because it's full of trash. Amen? Get the world out. That's trash. Get the world out of your house. You know, a lot of things growing up that my kids growing up didn't get to watch on television that you would think we were fanatics, but we didn't watch it because I knew there was just enough trash in it to lean them in that direction. Y'all gonna think I'm crazy. We didn't watch Hee Haw. Them girls didn't wear enough clothes on Hee Haw. And my daughters, I wanted them to wear clothes. Amen. I never heard a curse word on there, anything like that. But those girls didn't wear enough. And there never was a dirty joke, but there was always just about a dirty joke. There's a lot of secular music that's not bad. Songs about, you know, you love your wife, you love your husband, you love your girlfriend, you love your boyfriend, whatever. You know, me and you and a dog named Blue, whatever. A lot of that stuff. But you got to get through the trash to find the good stuff. So why don't we just throw it all out?
Right.
Amen? Somebody told me one time, said, your church will never be a success because you won't try new stuff. I said, there's nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
There's nothing new under the sun. It's either the same old, or it's the same old, it's redecorated into something else, but it's the same stuff. Amen? And trash is trash. I don't care how much perfume you put on it, or how much lipstick, or how you dress it up, or how you change the music sound a little bit, or tweak this or tweak that. Rubbish is rubbish. So they had to get some things straightened out. Look at verse 16. Do I have enough time? Oh man, I got 15 minutes. I can preach another one. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work. In other words, they partook in the work. And the other half of them held spears and shields and bows and halberds and the rulers behind all the house of Judah. In other words, they was holding a weapon. Half were working. Half were guarding. Verse 17. They which building on the wall, and they that bear burdens, or other words, brought them the stuff to build on the wall, with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work. With the other hand, he had a weapon. In other words, I saw a picture one time. A guy had a Bible, and it was open, and he had a spade. I guess that's what you call them, wherever you spread out the mortar for the bricks. So he was spreading mortar, and he had the Word of God weapon in his other hand. He was building a church. See what he's saying? And that's what that means. They held a weapon. They had a spear or a sword or whatever, and they were building at the same time.
Yeah.
Building with their. And did you know if you're going to do anything right, you might have to do that.
Yeah.
You might have to be on guard and have your weapon ready while you work. A lot of people just run headlong into something because they forget that we have foes.
Right.
There's people that don't even know us that hates this church.
Right.
There's probably some neighbors around here that hate this church. There's probably some people that's come through here that don't wish anything good for anybody in here. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's people that don't like your family. They don't have a reason. They just don't like your family. And they'd destroy it if they could. And so you gotta keep the sword of the Lord. And the shield of the Spirit. You gotta keep that thing handy all the time. While you're trying to raise them youngins, you better keep the Word of God with you. Amen. While you're trying to have a marriage, you better hold the sword while you're doing it. Amen. While you're trying to build a church, whether physically or spiritually, you better keep the Word of God in one hand while you're building with the other hand. Amen. And that's why I always tell people, we're not going to have anything around here. We don't have some kind of preaching or teaching or praying or something. Amen. And so these people, a lot of them forget that there are foes. They ignore them. And listen, these people, all they want to do is distract us from the will of God. They want to get us sidetracked from the will of God. That's what they want to do. And then they want to take you from the most important things to something that's only important. Did you know there's some things that's more important than other things? Now, these guys was wanting to join up with them. They was wanting to join up with them. Well, let us join up with you. And look, Nehemiah knew they wouldn't be help. They'd be a herd. And he thought more important to build a wall than it was to make friends. And I think it's more important to do the will of God in our home and in our family and in our jobs and in our church than it is to make friends. And people, biblically ignorant people will say, well, you know, Jesus hung out with the prostitutes and the pimps and the drug addicts and the drunks and the thieves and the whoremongers. He hung out with them. I said, no, he didn't. Every time he got around them, he converted them.
That's right.
they were different when he left. Amen. He didn't go join up with that mess. Amen. Well, you had to be a friend of these people. Are you going to drive them away? And I always say, well, where am I going to drive them? They're already going to hell.
Yeah.
There ain't a hell number two. There ain't but one hell. Where am I going to drive them? Amen. And I don't have to look. I have to be friendly, but I don't have to be friends.
Right. Right.
I have to love them, but I don't have to live with them. Amen. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, so sometimes we forget that there are foes. So we got to keep awake and remember. Did you know this Sunday and there have been some here. And I could tell you some instances, but I'm not going to because you'd figure out who it was. But there's been instances here where people have come here that hate my guts. That hate my guts. And publicly proud of it. And I've never done anything to those people, but they would come here and week after week sit, and when they'd go out, they'd just shake my hand and smile and say, you're the best preacher in town. And I could feel the knife about to lower on my back. but see, what we gotta do, we gotta keep on working. Don't ignore those people. Keep one eye on them and one eye on your work. Amen. Because your neighbor may be like that about you. They may tell you how great a neighbor you are, and the whole time they're working to get to hurt you.
Right.
You never know. And if you're going to do something for God, I'll guarantee you, you're going to make enemies.
Amen.
Well, he thinks his family's better than anybody else. Well, she thinks her children are better than anybody else's children. Well, he thinks his church is the best church in town. I had a woman tell me that one time. I wasn't even pastor. I was youth pastor in church. I went to visit her. I'd known her from another church. And I knew her and her husband was out of church. And when I went to leave, she said, Ronnie, you think every church you go to is the best church in town? I said, amen. I wouldn't go. And I said, if you find me a better one, I'll go to it. Amen. I do think that. I think I got the best one in town now. So, look, work, but keep an eye out. Now we're going, as church grows, we'll build a nice sanctuary out there, right out there, nice sanctuary. I've been praying more and more about it. We'll build one out there to sit about 200 people total. It'll be more comfortable. I won't have air conditioned vent over my head. And, but we'll build one out there. And see, when you build things like that, people look at it and they'll say, oh, what a nice church. Let's go to that church. And then they'll come in and they'll say, well, I like this church. I just don't like that preacher. After I come along, they'll say, well, if we could just get rid of that preacher, we'd have a nice church. What are you smiling about? I don't like that choir director. If it wasn't for him, you know, we could really get down if we get some one of them new modern. What are you laughing about, Bill? That's, I don't like that old whitehead man stands at the door. He's too friendly. I'm telling you, people do those things. And they'll turn your church upside down. They'll turn your home upside down. They're not happy unless you're unhappy. Amen. And so what we got to do, we just got to not forget that they're out there. We don't hate anybody. But we're going to watch out for everybody. Well, a lot of times me and my wife kids couldn't go on vacation unless we went camping. We didn't have any money. We had an old tent, old beat up car. We'd go to King's Mountain or park somewhere. That's all we had. Eat bologna and cheese sandwiches. Amen. And camp out a couple nights and call that vacation.
Yes.
But you know, when we do that, I'd always keep an eye out and an ear open. Cause I never knew who those people were in that other campsite.
Amen. Yeah.
I do that. I don't sleep good at motels. Every door that opens and closes wakes me up. Every car door that opens and closes wakes me up. I cannot sleep at a motel. It's awful. But I've learned this. There's a lot of bad people out there.
Yes.
And they may look real good, but they ain't. It's the same way with your home or your marriage or your job or your church or anything else. Now, look at this. I'm just about through. Look at verse 19. Chapter 4, verse 19. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we're separate upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. Look at verse 23. So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. In other words, they slept in their old dirty clothes. They ate in their old dirty clothes. They didn't take time to wash their clothes except when they took a bath. They put off their dirty clothes. Now, if you're going to build, it's going to be a battle. And what you got to do, you got to build yourself up spiritually. You got to build up your home spiritually. You've got to build up your church spiritually. And sometimes you will have to fight spiritually. You'll have to. Did you think any of those people that got shot at that Church of Christ the other day down there in Texas went to church and said, oh boy, tonight everything's fixed, lights on, the heat's on, the church is built, the carpet's clean, the songs are ready, the preacher's ready, I'm just going to go in there and relax. That's what they all said. Every one of them, nobody expected they were going to have to fight at church. But listen, if you get that way, you're going to have to fight. Spiritually, number one, and then maybe even physically. Now, we got a couple guys walk around here with little pistols and things. I don't think we have a whole lot to worry about. But if you ever hear somebody holler or hit the deck, you hit the deck and let them take care of it. Because they prepared for it.
Amen.
They're prepared for it. I'm not. I'm not prepared for it. I'm going to hit the deck. And pray real hard. Pray real hard. He said, we're far from another. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. Hey, look, when you hear somebody sound the alarm, somebody's attacking your family, somebody's attacking your home, somebody's attacking you on your job or your reputation, or somebody's attacking your church, that's a trumpet sound. Get to God. Get to God. Resort to Him. Fall down on your face and say, look, God, you're going to have to fight this. I can't fight it. I can't fight it. I lay stuff up here on this altar and I'll say, God, here it is. I can't do this. I can't fight this. I don't know how to fight this. Lord, if you don't do it, it ain't going to get done. And Lord, if it don't get done, there'll be bad things happening. And it'll all be on you, not me. We got to get to God.
Amen.
When our children was growing up, we stayed close to God. That's how you keep your children. You stay close to God.
Right.
Amen. Because listen, the old devil, hey, look, if he gets you, he'll get your children.
Yeah.
Yeah, he will. He'll get your children. He'll get your grandchildren. And you can't sleep while you're raising children. Spiritually, you can't sleep. You won't get much physical sleep either. But physically, you can't sleep while you're raising children. You gotta be alert all the time. And, I'll tell you what, if you don't, the old wolves will get them. The wolves will get them. And so, in our church, we can't sleep. He said, listen for the trumpet there in verse 20. Did you know in the Bible, a sound of a trumpet meant a charge?
Right.
You ever watch those cowboy things? Charge! And look, if you hear the trumpet, listen, they're attacking, they're attacking. It meant charge. And then in the Bible, it meant a sound of retreat also. And I can't play that one. But a sound of retreat. Sometimes it's time to fall back and get refreshed. You can't fight all the time. Sometimes you gotta step back and let God take it. Amen. And then sometimes it's a trumpet for reinforcements. I like that. I like that. I know it ain't culturally correct, but I like cowboy movies and the cowboys and the Indians. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. We used to play cowboys and Indians. I was always the Indian. I got killed every time. But cowboys and Indians, they'll be out there fighting, you know, and the last horse soldiers are about to get killed off. Might have been 25 of them. Now there are 5 of them, you know, and they were behind that rock shooting at them fellas. And I never did figure out why those people were so stupid to ride their horses by and let you shoot at them. Woo! I don't think it really happened that way. But they get down about 5 and then all of a sudden you hear something like, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, and here comes reinforcements over the hill. Amen. The cavalry is coming. Amen. And sometimes we need to sound that trumpet. Cavalry, we need you to come help us, Lord. Help us. Amen. Amen. Listen, we always got to listen for that trumpet. And then one day we're going to hear that last trumpet.
Amen.
And we'll be winners then. Amen. We'll win that day. The building will be over. The battling will be over. And we'll get to go home. Now, don't get me wrong. We're blessed people. We're blessed. Our lives, most everybody come to this church, their life's blessed. They're blessed. My wife and I was talking coming up here today and this afternoon, there's a car on the side of the road, and we mentioned that car, and she said, thank God we don't have car trouble. Many years, we had them old cars, you taped them together, you wired them together, you pushed them, you pumped them, you primed them, you cussed them, you did everything you could to get them to go. Y'all remember that? You didn't know if it was on crank in the morning when you got up to go to work or not. I've walked to work, I've rode bicycles to work, you know, you never know. But thank God, most everybody in this church is blessed physically, financially.
Amen.
And, listen, our homes are blessed. Our homes are blessed. Boy, when I was growing up, homes were a lot harder than they are now. Yeah, a lot harder than they are now. Families were a lot harder than they are now. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And, listen, our nation's blessed.
Yes.
Our nation's blessed. Most of us grew up a long time ago in this country, and over the years we've seen a lot of things. And God keeps rescuing us. God keeps rescuing us. We thought old Obama was the end of the world. That was just going, it almost was, but God rescued us, you know. And, we thought Vietnam would destroy our country and split it down half and we'd never recover. And God rescued it. God rescued it. And listen, right now we're in some hard times, but God's going to rescue us.
Yes.
He's already worked on the financial part. Now he's going to work on the spiritual part. I've never known a president that invited a bunch of preachers into the Oval Office and, get them to lay hands on him and pray for him. I've never known it. I've never known a president that goes to a church and walks forward during the invitation and gets up on the platform and asks everybody to pray for him. I've never heard anything like that in my lifetime. God's been good to us. Amen.
Yeah.
And then not only that, our church is blessed. We've seen a lot of people saved. We've seen a lot of people baptized. We've seen a lot of people come and go. We've seen a lot of people go to the other side. We've had a lot of good ones come and graduate.
Amen.
Amen. They graduated.
Yeah.
They gone to the other side. Old brother Tommy, best deacon you'd ever have. Old brother Tommy graduated, went to the other side. Look, one after another, one after another, they've come and they've come and they've gone. And guess what? God ain't through sending them. Our church is blessed. We've got people here to do anything. You call up and say, look here, I need this. And they'll say, well, I ain't got it, but I know where to get it. And we'd all get together and get her done. Amen. Our church is blessed. Come from John Street. I guess you'd call that the ghetto now, couldn't you, Brother Billy? John Street. He lives on John Street. I'm just picking at him. But look where we are and what God's done for us. He ain't through yet.
John Street too.
Huh?
God, he was on John.
Amen. God put us there just for you, I think.
Amen.
And we got you, he let us move. Amen. And we've got some good people over that come over here since we moved. We got some good people that came from the First Baptist Church and stuck with us. We've got new people coming in now. And what a blessing. But we can't quit building. We can't quit fighting, battling. We can't quit that. Not if we want to keep our home. Not if we want to keep our lives. Not if we want to keep our nation. Not if we want to keep our church. The old saying goes, and I had to write this down. It's been so long since I've heard it. Anything worth having is worth fighting for.
Amen.
Anything worth having is worth fighting for. And so this year in 2020, let's get us a trowel in one hand. And a sword in the other hand. Building and battling. In our personal life, in our homes, on your job, at the church house, in our nation. Building and battling. Now Sunday morning I'm going to preach out of this same pastor, but it's going to be a passage, but it's going to be a lot different. But I got news for you. Anything worth having is worth fighting for.
Right.
And thank God we got some people willing to build and battle. All right. You can't get more saved by battling.
Right.
But if you're going to be satisfied in your salvation, it's a battle. Let's stand. Father.